This is episode 150 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel. Lockdown has stolen all my ideas for bad nicknames. Manzano.
Why even try?
Will, have ships to fly, want to put them on the table. Hagwood.
Let me in. Let me into those tables.
And Ryan, insert funny phrase here.
With Marcel running out of ideas, needs things.
Well, we're going to hopefully give you some ideas, some, you know, some inspiration. We can't go any farther without saying the fact that this is our 150th episode of the podcast. That's kind of crazy to think about where this podcast has come from. So, yeah. So welcome. Thank you for being on this journey with us. And I think that the 100th and 50th episode will be the best one yet.
We need more hype than that, man. Like gunboats in the chat.
I was trying to be like humble brag, you know? I was trying to be... All right.
Chat wants to be excited.
We want the excitement. Be excited. Get pumped. All right. So now here's a question. I wonder who out there, and be honest, chat, all right? And there's no way for me to check this. I wonder if anybody out there has listened to all 150 of the episodes. I'm curious. So just something that comes to mind. I don't know. If you're out there, let us know. That'd be great.
Man, do the math on that. The average episode hours and then how many episodes you've watched, and then you get to figure out how many hours you've listened to Dion Morales.
We actually have somebody. We got a first timer right here. MD Towley in the chat. This is my first time. Well, welcome. Welcome. You're part of the family. Here's some spaghetti. All right. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. I'm tired. We're moving on. Spaghetti. All right. Announcements and news. So if you hadn't heard, we're doing a thing, okay? The Space Jam Tournament, all right? The Space Jam Tournament. We announced it a couple of days ago, and it's already sold out. But we have to talk about it because I said we were going to do it, and I was going to announce it, and it sold out in 29 hours, gone. We put up 148 tickets, all right? This wasn't like a 16-person tournament. 148, I thought to myself, like, maybe a couple people will be interested. Maybe we'll get, like, 50. All of them are gone. And we even have a wait list going. So that's really cool. I just want to take a second and say thank you to everybody who signed up. And just to remind you guys that make sure that you're reading all the documentation. In order for this to work, you got to follow all the steps. And one thing I got to mention, okay, I sent out another email today with like even more specific instructions, step-by-step. Will, you were talking about my step-by-step instructions. You thought they were pretty good?
Yeah, I liked it. I like the hand-holding. Please just tell me what to do so I can play in the tournament.
So as of right now, though, we got to talk about something. Because I said that there's a wait list, right? So if you don't complete, and this is in the documentation when you bought your ticket and everything like that, if you don't complete all the steps, you're dropped from the tournament without a refund, okay? And the reason you might be thinking, Miss Dion, that seems really harsh. This is for two reasons. You put some skin in the game, like you're gonna put the $20 in. You best follow all directions so that we can make sure that everybody is there and ready to go. If you don't follow all the steps, you're inconveniencing your opponent and all that stuff. Now, some people maybe are just waiting, but as of right now, you can actually see on the screen, 113 people have followed the directions. Awesome. There's what is that? 35 people right now are either waiting to do it later because they feel like doing it later or have not read the documentation I've sent them. So as of right now, if it went, you know, if the tournament was tomorrow, we'd have 35 tickets available. So what I'm telling you is that if you want to be on the wait list, go ahead, sign up on the wait list. And if you signed up for the tournament and you haven't done all the steps, do all the steps. And if you have any questions, just email me after you read all the stuff. All right, so super excited about that. All kinds of prizes. If you didn't see the prizes, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Let's just show some of this stuff off. Look at all that info, all the details. All right, we got faction prizes, guys. We got top 64, get some awesome Frosted Space Jam tokens. Everybody is getting a Captain Seavor Frosted Clear card. Top 16 gets the Space Jammed t-shirt. That's the official t-shirt of the event. Those are available for sale if you'd like them. Top 8 get these transparent Frosted Blue templates. Oh, so pretty. All right, you get to the top 4, you get a District Foundry box with the Space Jam logo, the GSP Space Jam logo. Super awesome. And oh wait, I had updated this. Let me go ahead and refresh this page. It didn't go through. Hold on, there's a picture of the belt. Oh no, Vamp, somebody, Vamp,
you gotta get it. So there's I think last time I checked, you said there was 35 people on the wait list. So it's going to be like a black market thing. So I'm going to put up on the X-Wing trade.
Not transferable, bro. Not transferable.
Like, come on. Just make it like an auction. Like, I'm taking 100, taking 100, taking 120, 120, 120, 31, 30, 30. Okay, we got to buy over there. 140, 140, 140.
And sold. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and I'll ship a Naboo fighter with it.
All right, so I don't know why that preview. I think it's my cache, but there it is, right there. There's a preview to the belt, the championship belt that you get to keep. I will tell you, I got to call out the Minox. Oh, sorry, they're not called. I don't know whatever they're called now, right?
The Flynox.
Now, okay.
The Flynots.
Not specifically the podcast, but like the group of players that play together. Mm. Okay, not currently because you know all the stuff's going on, but Right, they went and tried to troll my posts. I'm so excited about this championship belt. They're like, congratulations on having the second best X-Wing championship belt. And they posted this belt of that they pass around, okay, between them for like their monthly tournaments. Which I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Except the fact that this one you get to keep. Okay, there's no passing. Once it's yours forever. It has the year on it and everything. I didn't make it so that it was, you know, interchangeable. Maybe could have saved myself some money in the future. But I decided, no, you get to keep the trophy. All right, and remember, that's just a prototype picture. It does have like the belt holes in it and stuff like that. And if you're a little larger, that's all right. It's just more to love, and you just put it on your shoulder. That's all what the cool kids do anyway. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I still think you got to put it like John Cena's old belt with the bling and then the spinning rim effect. So you just take the jam and you do.
We didn't quite have the budget for that. Maybe for the next one.
Hey,
maybe
for the next one. maybe the Europeans get it.
And actually, you know, you're so good at transitions. Why are you so good at transitions?
Because I'm just good like that.
That's right. So here's the thing.
My mama raised me right.
A lot of people were asking, especially those that the time is like not super convenient. Mind you, I will tell you, we have some hardcore. We got some Australians signed up for this event. We got some Europeans, not like just like from England. We got some like Eastern European guys who are signed up where they're going to be like starting this event at like the butt crack of dawn. But they want to play. Which is awesome. But I'm pretty sure, assuming that everything goes well and to my expectations, and I really, really, and I like the way it goes, we will run another one of these in the opposite time zone set. Okay? So that's the plan there. So those of you guys who are on the other side of the world, you guys are going to get some love, some Gold Squadron love. We'll have the same prizes, okay? And that's going to be the plan to make sure that as many people that want to play get an opportunity to play. And if you want to double dip, you can go ahead and double dip too. That's fine. But I'm going to try to do my best to kind of let the like Europeans, Australia, you know, that area of the world know first before I let it out for everybody, just to make sure they have a chance as well. That's going to be interesting. But you know what? I've already slept inside their time zone. I should be fine, right? That's how that works, right?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on here to our next set of announcements. We talked about that. Oh, the judges. So here's the thing. People were asking, like, how serious is this event? It's like super serious, guys. Like, we are, the idea is that I want this to feel, obviously it's through a computer, but I want this to feel that level of competition that if Adepticon would have happened, if these premier events that aren't happening during the stretch of time would have happened, that level of competition. And because of that, I got two premier level judges that are going to be on here. So D Yoon is going to be our marshal for the event. Okay, we'll talk about that for the players who are signed up, how we're going to deal with getting judge calls and all that. And then we also have Michael Juris, who was the one of our locals, who's an awesome judge, and also he was the head judge at Worlds. So two premier level judges are going to be over this event. They're going to be there for basically rules questions. TTS has all the, you know, arc and range thing. So you're not going to be calling for that. You'll be calling a judge for rules, interactions, and other things that you may be concerned about during your game. We have two judges available for you there. And if it turns out we need another, we'll figure that out as we go along. We can make it happen. Next thing, FFG had announced on their Facebook that, of course, because of, you know, current COVID-19 and all that, that they've updated their upcoming product pages with new dates. So we'll go ahead and just take a peek at the what we really care about, which of course is the X-Wing side of that. So you see that the Psi shuttle, the LAT, and the HMP droid gunship, all three of them say that that their U.S. release date is expected to be September. We'll see if that actually happens, but right now it's estimated for September. Do you guys think that's going to end up being on time?
Yeah, I think September's, I mean, doesn't sound unreasonable. I think end of July, early August, things getting released around that time, I think should be fine. I think definitely if it's product, even if it doesn't get, you know, I mean, you can still get product, you can still get it delivered. There's way to deliver it, but I don't see why not.
Yeah, unlike how the boat used to function in the past, I think FFG has been pretty spot on lately about its release time. So if they're confident enough to give an update, it's probably pretty serious.
Yeah, and September's that's a good amount of buffer time so that they didn't put something that was too close to now and not something that's too far away. It coincidentally, September tends to be a common release month because the month before they tend to do the early release at Gen Con, if that still happens as well. I think it was late April.
Sorry, I was going to... I muted myself in the stream. You said, was the original release date April, you guys said?
I think late April, early May, actually, yeah.
All right, so I'm interested to know, like, because FFG, that would mean that if they were planning on releasing it then, that I wonder if at some point, once hopefully our world goes back to normal, we end up getting either a double wave release or some type of, like, maybe two waves closer together. They were talking about that whole like Aces packs thing. Yeah. But anyway, that's that. Now, this is in the news, but also more of a discussion point for us. So I don't know. So the from my knowledge, the upcoming GSP Space Jam will be the largest, like, one day of people playing X-Wing online for an organized event for X-Wing that has happened, which hopefully it works out. But I also found it interesting that I think it was the same day or the day before, FFG had posted on their Facebook, and I actually had trouble finding the post again, but I know I did read it, that they actually asked a question. on their Facebook asking, do you think it's a good idea for us to try to embrace digital events like that? And before I talk about kind of what were some of the opinions that I saw in the comment sections, what are your guys' thoughts on FFG maybe getting involved in all that? Ryan, you go ahead and take the floor first.
I think it's really interesting. I guess they're allowed to entertain this at publicly in that regard. I would think the last time we were aware that according to their... I forgot what the official documentation was, but it dealt with everything that we all like went crazy over about 6 or 8 months ago. That dealt with all the clauses and copyright and all that fun stuff, and using the games and the licenses outside of FFG directly. And then people were concerned about things like Vassal continuing or able to continue, and all the podcasts had to think about their alternate art cards, producing anything like that. So maybe they've opened it up a little bit to consider. Obviously, this situation has opened a lot of potential things up that deal with online capabilities for any aspect in the world right now. So why not games?
What do you think, Will?
Ooh, I'm normally very optimistic, but this is one thing that I might actually be pessimistic about. I feel like they might actually just muddy the waters, make it more complicated. Not like them running a tournament would be complicated. That can be simplified. But starting to get like like official deals with these different modding communities and like Vassal, TTS, things like that, Fly Casual, all the kind of online things. Once they like dip their toes into it, they might, what do I say, like bully bully these organizations and you know, the people who make them into wanting something out of it. Hopefully that won't be the case, obviously. But I could see it being more trouble than it's worth to get them like officially involved. But I guess I would want more information on what they would even plan to do.
And what do you think, Marcel?
I tend to agree a little bit with William. The biggest issue I think for them is with the licensing. If it was their own game that they trademarked themselves and they created themselves, then it would make it a little bit easier for them to get, you know, as creative as they want to get with digital platforms. The problem is when you're dealing with the Star Wars and with a Disney license and you're going to digitize it, then that has to go through everything. And if that everything that that goes into the copywriting and what's within their contract, or what they're actually paying for and getting out of that license. And then if they do it, then they have to, again, for trademark and for copywriting reasons, they would have to like acknowledge that Tabletop Simulators mods and Vassal mods, unless they created their own standalone, it would just, you know, to William's point, it would muddy things up. Now, what they can do is, in order to support the community in times when you know, for whatever reasons, games can't be played in person or they have to be canceled, excuse me, what they can do is they can support, like many other companies do, independent organizers like, you know, like Gold Squadron or, you know, some of the other places that are making tournaments happen, just support them in some way, you know, either support them with materials that they had planned to send out for Adepticon and other things that are basically probably going to go to waste and not get used up. Same thing for like the regional kits and things like that, if they already had those, and just support the events in that way and keep the enthusiasm up, maybe even participate in, something that's community run, but not officially endorsing it, just You know, the same way that any company, you know, if you work in marketing or if you work in sales, you know that, you know, if you're running, if you have a product in an industry, whenever somebody's running an event for that industry, for example, I used to be in the automotive industry, people that ran car shows would always call on us and say, hey, do you have stickers? Do you have this? So we can pass out at our car show. It's similar thing with X-Wing. You're not really endorsing an event. You're not really allowing or signing off that you're in agreement with copyrights and that they're following all the rules. It's really more just like, hey, we're running this event that, you know, do you want to promote it? Do you want to promote yourself in my event and just give out, you know, some of the tchotchkes and some of the other things that some of the other swag that they had planned out that is just going to sit in the warehouse now.
Could you see even maybe like special tournament kits for this time? Like going out of the way and creating something new rather than using old stuff. I'm trying to think of I know they like do some special things for the CAC, but I think the CAC campaign against cancer does have that kind of licensing deal with them. Am I wrong about that?
It's not necessarily a licensing deal, from my understanding. It's that they are. They've even done it with other community events. You just kind of ask, and they do it through the banner of community support, is what they say.
Mm, that makes sense. Yeah, I see Luke's knows a lot more about it than I do.
Yeah.
And it says that they only get the previous stuff.
Cool. Well, so a lot of what you guys said already is what I was seeing in the comments, and a lot of the worry, right, is we do have two amazing online platforms right now, TTS and Vassal, with people behind them who've created them, who've done a lot of work, and they have established player bases. Ideally, like Marcel was saying, if it was their own IP, they'd just be able to roll into it, right? It's like, hey, let's just do this on TTS. Let's just do this on Vassal. And the community would be like, okay. I think the biggest risk is if they go out and try to publish something themselves, it has to be as good, if not better. Actually, I'd have to argue that it probably just has to be downright better than either of those platforms so that the community goes, oh, that's objectively better. I get it. Let's use it. Now, and I think Luke had put this in the Luke Carrington, Gold Squadron Paincast, by the way, had put this in the chat saying, how does FFG make money off of it? Now, I've heard a couple of different I don't want to call them business plans, but a couple of different ideas on how FFG can monetize an online platform. Now, of course, most of us say, well, we can play TTS and Vassal for free. Yes, but I'm saying if they did have an official online version, one of the things that does is there is definitely a sector of people that they don't do community built stuff. They don't use it. They only use the official thing, right? Like you have the people who will only use FFG Squad Builder. And you ask them why. Well, because it's FFG Squad Builder. Why wouldn't I use it, right? And you could argue till you're blue in the face and tell them about Launch Bay Next and yet another Squad Builder, and they don't care, right? So there is definitely a group of people that would end up getting herded into this platform right away and could be an opportunity for FFG to gain more customers. Maybe they do something kind of like what's the model I'm thinking of? Where you like when you buy a physical ship, there's like a code you put in or something like that, and they'd have to have some way for us to roll in our current, what we've bought already, into the digital platform, but also have a way for them to monetize
them. The Disney video game that they have the little figurines that you put in your Nintendo, and mm-hmm. and when you buy it, you dock it, and now you have the character available on in your game, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so complex. I mean, for I mean, for what we've seen them do with technology and the just squad builder app, it is definitely a scary thought having them do anything digital, especially considering that they just shut down their that side of their business.
I know.
3 months ago.
I'm sure somebody over there is going, oh, dang it. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting topic, and it's something that I want to continue to think about as we continue in this world that we're in right now. And we don't know if we don't know how long this is going to be. When are we going to have our next big event? As we talked about last week, Origins got pushed back, I think, until is it October? I think is what I saw. But
October 7th through the 11th or something like that, which is the same weekend as what is currently Worlds for X-Wing. Right. So that will probably need figuring out in some manner, because I doubt they'll host a system open and a Worlds at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So as of right now, we'll see kind of what happens. And as we know, Gold Squadron, we're gonna try this thing, this big online event with the GSP Space Jam, and I'm really excited. The prize support does look really, really good. Now, and
I have a question about Space Jam.
Yeah.
And you may or may not know the answer or have the answer, and you may or may not be willing to spill the beans just yet. You've given us the judges. Are we going to have any other sultry voices along your next to yours in
maybe.
I mean, I know the three of us are playing, so it's
right,
three of us.
Right.
Not...
Right. Oh, yeah, I got plans. I'm working on stuff. Yeah. Well, let me tell you this.
The three of us are going to be. Oh, and another thing as well. RD Yoon, and you're running this like a premier level event, so I'm going to. Maybe they won't, but I'm going to hold you accountable like a premier level event.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. So, in a premier level event, when you go to Adepticon, when you go to LVOI or any of those, judges get top swag. Are Mike and D going to be getting some of that swag? As
I honestly hadn't thought about that. I'm just going to be honest, but they're also being paid.
Okay.
So
money is swag.
Yeah,
money is swag, or swag turns into money.
Yeah. That's
money
right.
Money is swag. I don't have to sell for money.
Right. correct. Yeah. So and I did actually get the question, and you know, I wanna put this out there, because sometimes I don't like to respond to these things on Facebook most of the time, because you don't get tone. So I'm going to answer probably two questions that I saw that bothered me because of the underlying thoughts underneath there. So I had somebody ask me, Dion, why is it $20 to play online? It doesn't cost you anything. Let's talk about it. First, I am hiring. It's fine. I'm going to talk about it. Listen, it's not free to run the event because I'm hiring people to help me do this. Okay. I'm paying for their time. There's the design of all the prizes. There's the shipping of all the things and the time from which to ship all the things and pay people to do all that. Okay? That's the idea. Also, very simple thing. We talked about it already, is committing to the event monetarily. It helps engagement because you're putting yourself into there. Like, nobody wants to take a $20 bill and burn it, right? If you can do that, then that's cool. I can't. So so we're just trying to make sure that people are committed to the event. Part two. There was definitely people saying, Dion, why didn't you do this on Vassal? I didn't want to. Not this time. Maybe we'll do a Vassal thing in the future. And the third thing was the time zone. What about my time zone? We had to pick. Somebody's getting screwed on the time zone, no matter what, and that might be you. But I'm gonna try because I love you.
And just to keep it real, since this is, you know, it's a Gold Squadron, and it's gonna, you know, the You know, the idea of it, I'm sure, came from like, hey, I had lined up to stream and present all this content at, you know, all these regionals happening or, you know, at the system opens. Now I have to do that online. We have to come up with a way to do it. And being that the ulterior motive was create content to push out and have X-Wing on weekends as a content, it just looks so much prettier on Tabletop Simulator. I mean, Vassal's nice, especially when you're commenting on it. Your Vassal just hangs for so long in the same screen without any action moving, without any movement on the screen. It's like you're basically pausing everything, and you don't get the same effect from rolling the dice and going up and just the. You know, the buildup for, you know, how is it going to, you know, is it going to lean this way into an evade or is it going to lean over here into a blank? So it's just Tabletop Simulator, whether you like one or the other, it's just so much more visually appealing and better for streaming. It just is.
You said it. I don't have to say it. There you go. Bam. He's got it. All righty. Lastly here, before we get into our main topic of the day, is Patreon update. Patreon swag is being packed and shipped. People at that highest level have already started receiving items. We do ship them in order. They would have actually all been shipped at the same time initially, but we ran out of stamps. So I had to order more stamps. They came in yesterday. And yeah, so stuff coming. And if there's any issues with it, contact me. We actually got our first issue already. Somebody accidentally got an empty envelope, sealed, stamped, empty. We got you, man. We'll get you. We'll get you some. We'll get you your swag back out.
What a tease! All right.
Yeah, I know. Like, who you thought? Nope, false. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and hit our main topic. And today's topic is talking about the process of list building. Now, today we're going to specifically be focused on extended. Maybe we'll do this in the future for hyperspace, but a lot of the ideas that we're going to talk about translate over into the hyperspace format as well. Now, people who are watching, we're going to get you guys involved in a couple seconds. Be ready. Get your fingers ready on that keyboard. We'll talk about it here in a second. So, today specifically, we want to kind of focus on, like, how do you go about building a list? And yes, you could just say, well, we'll look up what are the best lists. But what if you want to build a list? What are the different avenues in which you can go down to create a list? So here's a couple of examples that we have. And what I want here is in the chat, go ahead and you guys can try to prompt us. Now, we're not saying give us a list. This is not list of the week where you give us a list and we try to quote unquote fix it or make it better. This is start with an idea and create a list from that. What are some of the ideas, guys, in which that we can use to go about building some lists?
Well, the one I always start with is pilots. Whether it's Darth Vader or Luke or even Ivan Farrell or whatever his name is, I always try to harness that because I feel like that that spawns the combos that I'm looking for, the kind of ability interactions that I can start building together. Because that's how normally where my mind is, trying to get some combo to work together based off of one particular pilot. What I want to say is making somebody an all-star as well. You know, like this is my dash list, or this is all about Hera. And that way you can, you really, I don't want to say like focused in, I almost said lasered, but like focused in on what your actual goal is trying to achieve when you're focusing on just one pilot.
Marcel, what do you think?
I stepped out for a minute, so I didn't hear what William said, but I might be saying the same thing. So
he hit on the idea of starting a list, thinking about of a pilot. Right? Did you say pilot or ship?
Will. Pilot. Sometimes, pilot. I mean, chassis is kind of like a pilot, but just more generic.
Okay. All right, cool. Sorry, go ahead,
yeah,
Marcel.
I think for me, usually what I start thinking of is thinking about mechanics, like a certain something that I'm not so much of an archetype, but the mechanics behind an archetype. For example, an archetype would be like, ace plus support or multiple aces or alpha strike. That's an archetype. But a mechanic is more of like a way to make that succeed. I guess the best examples that I can provide is just the last couple of lists that I took to major events where I was flying Wedge Loop with Proton Torpedoes and Regen and AP5 with support with Leia. That's the archetype for that is Alpha Strike. You know, Initiative 6 and Initiative 5 get the torpedoes out, double modded, and kill somebody. But the mechanic that was critical is working around the mechanic of having double mods. So even though it's an Alpha Strike list, the mechanic that I was working on is double modded. Basically, the shots that will get the most likely to end up with 4 hits and a crit or 3 hits and a crit that you can get. And that's something that I typically always think about, like, what do I want to do? What mechanic do I want to occur? What situation do I want to occur? Same thing with the one that I took to Worlds with Baby Anakin. What I was trying to do right there is really replicate the control element of, sorry, I got some in my throat. Replicate the control element of the jump masters and the bump master. So that's where the Baby Anakin idea came out of, with intimidation, ship sensing, and then the double reposition, reposition early, move and reposition again to get the blocks in all kinds of weird and odd angles. So it really comes around, like, what is a mechanic that I want to take advantage of and apply it to an archetype, and then look for all of the surrounding tools to make that work. I don't know if I was babbling or if that.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. You were on the right road. What about you, Ryan?
So a lot of times if I'm just trying to experiment or build a new list, it generally starts out with, like, what's a ship that I haven't flown in a while, tried, points update, had it changed. So it's like, hey, let's get this going. How can we utilize it? The main things to consider is that, like, just because you're trying a new ship doesn't mean you need that ship in your list as spammy as possible. Like, you don't just go like, oh, E-Wings went down to points, mash duplicate. Like, that's not necessary.
Copy paste.
Yeah. So it's finding, like, what are the good pilots, what are the good pieces, what are the upgrades that they have that are already known good upgrades that you can maximize. Is it worth taking the generic pilot that has a talent slot? Can you maximize any talent with those generics if you have multiple of them? Are the generics worth it? What do they mesh with other ships? You know, when you say, if you start with, let's say if you're like, I mean, we know the Inquisitor is already pretty good, but like you say, I want to fly the TIE V1, like, you're going to look at some Inquisitors because that's a good starting point, whether they're named or not. And knowing them as they are, it's like, well, that works out pretty well with missiles and Jendin, right? And it's just taste, flavor to taste. You know, we saw Will's supernatural version, and I didn't get to play it, but there was also the non-supernatural version that had more named pilots instead of just two generics and a named pilot. So it's finding the pieces that support the ship you're trying to use. Or if your ship you're trying to use is more of a support ship, say, like, hey, I want to use a Sheathapede, and like, hey, I'll take AP5, and, you know, what can that support? What commonly ends up stressed that could still use a coordinate tends to be B-wings. Maybe put AP5 with some B-wings. stuff like that. So find a ship, and if you want to build off a ship, don't just have as much of that ship as you want. Support it correctly, build around it right, and find the good pieces that are already part of the game.
So another way to go about it would be maybe thematic. I know that there's a lot of people who get into this game just because they like Star Wars, right? So you say, all right, Dione, I want a original trilogy list. Only if it was in the movies for the original trilogy, because that's all I fly. You can take, that might seem like a very narrow scope, but really, compared to maybe even thinking like pilot or mechanic or you know, or any type of specific game action, that gives you quite a few ships, even though you might be limited. Like, well, I can no longer reach for like, oh, we can't take we can't take an Ozatuck because you don't see those in the movies, right? You can't do that, or a K-Wing, but you still get quite a bit of leverage there. Sometimes it might be, I mean, thematic gives you all, anything with Star Wars media that you like could do that. It could be something as simple as, which we've done before, like, you know, I want all female pilots, or I want, nothing but droids or robots, only Jedi. Like, there are ways to find what maybe drew you into Star Wars, that drew you into the game, and put that on the table and try to find something that works and synergizes together. Sometimes you might find some duds, because it happens, because you are confining yourself within certain parameters, but sometimes you find some gems. And what we're going to do next is we're going to take on the challenge, okay? Ryan's been doing a great job of taking some notes here for what are some of the things that you guys have been asking in the chat for us to build some lists around, all right? And since Ryan was so diligent and made the notes, he gets to choose which one of these he wants to do first.
Oh, is this from the audience we're doing first? Not, yeah, the ones we already kind of randomly. Oh, okay.
Audience.
Okay. I will take. The one thing I didn't note is who said it, but someone had posted maximizing Leia's pilot ability for the Rebel Falcon. So obviously, we are starting with her in the Falcon. So this is something that me and a couple other people have talked about and how to maximize. And I think Will thoroughly enjoy this. I think one of the Rebel pilots that maximizes Leia's ability the most is Jack Porkins.
Jack Porkins in the X-Wing!
So Leia's ability, after Jack executes a red, it ranges 0-3. She can spend a charge, force charge. If you do that, the ship gains focus or recovers force. Well, Jack is not force user, so he'll take a focus. But then with Jack's ability, he can just, after receiving stress, roll attack die, remove it. And as long as he doesn't hit the 3 and 8 council fire, essentially, he'll just take his action as normal. So he'll be target lock focus after K turn or talon roll. From there, another solid piece, as we know for Rebels, is Jake Farrell. Because I'm a believer in 4 ship or more, so we're trying to keep a nice small count there. And look, we have 40 points left. Sounds like a base X-Wing. No upgrades, pretty simple across the board. Just Leia, Jack, Jake, and a blue squadron escort, which is hyperspace capable. If you want to drop down to a Cabin Angel Zealot, you could do that. Give Jack some crack shot.
Cool. And then remember here, guys, the whole idea with our episode today in this specific section is finding parameters and trying to build around that. Just want to make sure we're keeping that scope here for why are we saying these lists. So Ryan did an awesome job there. Will, go ahead and pick one of those audience lists right there in our notes. I'm not sure if you have it up there.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
Oh, I'm looking.
Oh, I'm looking at it. Man, I was so distracted by all the good points Ryan was making. let's go with I want bombs and mines. And I think I haven't. I actually liked how Ryan had put it in the notes of area denial. And I'm not going to go for most bombs. Okay, I'm going to go for accurate bombs. And when I think of accurate bombs, I'm thinking of Iman, and his last name as well.
As a meme.
I think he's got great ways to drop bombs. And then he's got a lot of abilities to maximize that. So let's start with Iman. We're going to start with the Estrada title because that's about bombing. We're going to use a new upgrade called Delayed Fuses. It's also about bombing. And we're going to put on some bombs as well. Let's go with Seismics and... this is a tough choice on it. I'm actually going to go with Proton Bombs. It's a hard choice between Protons and... Proxies. Ooh, we're going to go with the proxies. They're just so accurate.
Proxy.
Slap them on top of people. we want more bombs than that. That's not enough bombs. So we're going to go with Captain Nim.
What? Who is this guy? Who's that guy?
You may have remembered him from your nightmares.
I know that guy. I gave people nightmares.
That was me.
But it's okay. He's fine. In second edition. So same thing. Let's do some bombing with them. Let's go Havoc, Trajectory. Let's put on Seismics and Proton Bombs for him. Because those are things that you can launch. I'm going to put Delayed Fuses on them too, because this is a bombing list. Let's get some bombing upgrades. And so, between Nim's ability and Delayed Fuses, you can freeze a bomb much longer than it should ever exist out on the board. And that's going to be this kind of aerial denial. Knowing that at any moment, Nim could just unfreeze that bomb is going to deny a huge area. One seismic charge in the center of three obstacles. So you have range one of each of them to blow up. Like I said, it's going to deny a lot of area. We end up with a lot of points left. 51 points still on this list.
Where's my electro proton bomb, Will?
Should we go for it instead of that seismic?
It's probably too expensive, honestly.
I didn't plan on putting a third ship in this list, but...
Can you fit a bombing Zuvio?
I like that idea. I like where you're going with this. Zuvio also loves bombs and denying areas.
And tractor effects. Put them on the bombs. Accurate bombs.
Why don't you just go onto my proxy mine? Why don't you? Let's give him a proxy mine. Why not? And I'm going to make one inclusion. You know what? You know who I forgot? Now, you might want to reach for Cad Bane, because he's a bomb-dropping crew member for Iman. No. I'm going to go with Boba Fett. Boba Fett lets you deploy range zero of an obstacle. So you can deploy on their side of the map, flying away from them, dropping bombs as you go.
So I have to talk about this. So I did play a game in early second edition where somebody did this. Where I'm looking, they're setting up, and I hadn't thought about it when I saw the Boba Fett and the bomb. I hadn't like connected them, and then we set up, and he places Boba Fett like basically right in front of my area, but it worked because of the distance of the ship. And I look at it, and I'm looking back and forth. He's got his Iman Azamine there, and I just start laughing. Because he basically had cornered me with these bombs, and neither direction was good because Iman can toss them in either direction. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm really just going to round out the list with a turn on Nim, and pretty much call it there. There's some little sprinklings, you know, crack shots, maybe a crew member here and there, or I guess on just on Zubio. But so this is kind of the basis of the list. We're doing area denials. We're doing a lot of bomb, different tactics. But so this would be the core, right? And then maybe I'll go back and try different bomb upgrades, try different things as variations of it. But really just trying to, you know, taking that one idea and just what else can we kind of compound onto it? What other upgrades can we get to make this idea function?
All right, cool. And Marcel, which one would you like?
Well, I was originally going to go with area denial, bombs, and William decided to steal that from me.
Stealer.
I blame you, Dion. You called him before you called me. So I'm actually going to take some, another one that you wrote down. What was that?
So you win some, you lose some, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to take another one that's control mechanics, but I am going to bring it back to area denial using control mechanics. So we're going to do control mechanics. And
por qué no los dos?
Yeah. So with the you know, the best people at it are the scum. I mean, yeah, scum, that's what they do. They bomb, they control. So let's jump some scum on. Let me bring this over here so I can look at your screen. All right. You got the scum open? New squad?
Yep.
And, all right. So let's start with one of my favorite control ships in the scum faction, which is the quad jumper, Constable Zubio.
Okay.
Yeah, so Constable Zubio's ability, for those who don't know, is if you would drop a device, a bomb, device, you could use the front template and not just the back template, so you could drop it in the front as well. So let's give him some proximity mines. Proximity mines in the front really hurt. Sometimes he wants to drop that proximity mine and go over it and push someone into it. So let's put a delayed fuse on there. And then for tech, pattern analyzer, because it's really nice to be able to, if somebody's behind you, they think they're safe, to be able to drop a bomb in front of you, do a soft one bank to the back, and tractor them into the bomb you just dropped in front of you. That is so much fun. But he's getting a little expensive, and not expensive, but he's becoming a big threat. So let's make him harder to kill by giving him cloaking device. So now you're shooting at a.
He's expensive. Double down.
Oh yeah. Well, double down on the agility. He just went from 2 agility to 4 agility, so he is not going to be killed easily. And for those of you who don't know the trick, when you roll a focus with cloaking device in order to break the cloaking device, as long as you're positioning Zubio right, or any ship, is if you roll a focus and you have to decloak, you can just decloak to a place where you know you're going to fail it. You fail the decloak, so you stay cloaked. So that's a way to get around the penalty. All right. So we've got one control element there, being able to tractor beam and reposition you, being able to basically control an area by dropping proximity mines. Another one is ioning. Ioning is good, especially ioning ships that are tractored. So let's put a cheap ion. Let's go with a cartel spacer with an ion cannon. And it makes... and it makes that proximity mine hit a little better. Now, another good control ship is Sol Sixa. It's in the Skurg H6 bomber, and that's another ship that can put bombs in a number of different places. And in this case, we're going to do Connor Nets. I haven't seen those around lately. So Connor Nets give somebody damage and an ion. It is damage and an ion, right?
Maybe.
Damage in 3 ions, I think is what
yes,
it does.
Yes, 3 ions, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another way to ionize and put out some damage. And with Soul Six's ability that he can use any of the one templates, you know, you get a huge range behind you. Let's give him an ion turret to keep on that control. All right. Let's give him delayed fuse for the same reason. You might have to drop it on yourself. So you drop it on yourself, burn the fuse, and then the enemy ship goes over it. And let's close it out with some seismic charges, because there's only, unfortunately, one charge to that counternet. And now you've got three control ships. You need something to finish them off. Let's go with, how many points you got? 59? Let's go with Fang Fighter. And let's do Old Turok. Hey, you know where I'm going. And Fearless on that Old Turok. So, again, now you know where they're going to be. You know they're ionized. You're probably going to drop a mine on them. And then Ultrarock's going to be their range one with Fearless, free evade. And they get to take a focus while they're ioned, but Ultrarock doesn't care. So,
you end up with Zuvio with Pattern Analyzer, Proximity Mine, Cloaking Device, Delayed Fuses, Cartel Spacer with an Ion Cannon, Sol Sixa with Connernet, Seismic Charge, Delayed Fuse, and Ion Cannon Turret, and then Old Turok with Fearless for 200 points.
Yeah. Now, for William, would you call that a control list, or would you call that an area control or area denial? I think it's more of a control, but...
I would say control, because you still have the seismics, right? You can like delay a seismic, and you know they know those proxy mines are coming. So like what Zubio loves doing. So you have some air denial in that, but I would say it's mostly control. You're controlling what kind of tokens they can take, where they can even go. I would say it's control.
All right, let's keep on rolling. So what was the next one here? So we had either E-Wings. I guess we have to address this one. Somebody had mentioned Yvonne Verlaine, her super agility. And we can try to double down, but I honestly don't think that she's really good. She's not very good. But you know what? I'm going to go with the other one. So it's E-Wings or YV666. Okay. Oh, I'm so sad. Unknown Hero was like, "Oh, that was me." I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I made you sad. Should we try, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I saw someone mention a first step in the right direction, I think. And it's putting Kallus next to it. That could get Kallus up to 2 agility. No, crickets.
I'm so excited.
I read that and I was like, okay.
Maybe. So here's the question. Are you trying to use your ability on yourself or on others? Because it is 0-1.
I'm not here to maintain the health of a Y-Wing.
See, that's my
I'm
opinion.
I'm a VCX, right?
It's a support ship, right? Like it's got to be given to somebody else. So what can we find for a good candidate? Who is going to take a lot of damage?
Kallus
isn't a bad spot, be honest.
Isn't it kind of screaming Biggs list? Like a Biggs list.
I mean, that's what I'm reaching for. Like,
all right.
If not Kallus... Like it's got to be someone you know they're gonna shoot at,
right? But I think the Biggs Darklighter is you're gonna have a better, a higher chance of staying together with the ships, right?
No, sure.
Because that large base ship, like especially with the zero agility, Ken, it's at first it just moves faster than it, and the Y-wing, not very fast. So you end up kind of with a four ship, don't touch me squad. And if you want to like super double down. Let's double down. You have not seen this ship in second edition put on the table. I can almost guarantee it. Captain Rex. Let's go.
Ooh.
All right. Little suppressive fire. All right. What else are we putting in the...
Is there... Well, we don't want someone for Biggs to protect as well.
True.
Reach for like a high initiative swarm tactics? Like maybe Wedge?
Wedge.
So we can get that Rex to shoot first.
There you go. Swarm tactics, Wedge. And we still have 27 points. Can you fit a Z95 in there for funsies? I don't know. What is the cheapest one? 22? Oh, yeah. They let me. But, you know, you have some options there. If you really want, I think this is probably a better way to go about getting her ability to work than going with Kallus. I think that doesn't seem great.
Yeah, probably. And then you have points to actually put a turret on Evan Verlaine too.
Hey, she gets to play. Look at that.
Kind of.
Only gets dorsal.
Iron cannon fit. Iron cannon fit. Maybe.
Yeah. Unmodified, I don't care. If you can roll dice, whatever.
All righty. And the other one... Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, like, even with this list, like, this is actually not bad. Like, this is flyable, right? Like, I think we can all agree that, like, this could actually do some damage. Yeah, I just don't, man.
All right, so we got Will's time. Space Jam Squad. All right.
Oh God. I'll take my random list over.
Awesome. And then lastly, I'll go ahead and hit on just one of the other. We talked about a thematic type of list. I saw that one of those didn't come up, but so like a thematic list would be something like, since we didn't talk about Empire lists, would be something like, you know, taking Darth Vader, right? Because that's everybody's favorite Imperial if you're all about the theme. And I think the natural thing to go ahead and pair him with would be TIE Fighters, right? That's just, you know, you can grab four of them. You actually grab a lot more than that. You can go ahead and grab 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but that's naked. So you're gonna end up wanting some upgrades on Vader. That'd be flavor to taste. I know that Tyler Tippett flew a version of this for a really long time, and did well with it because essentially he had TIE fighters out there as blockers and just let Darth Vader do the work.
I mean, if you're going thematic, really cool. You got to go Black Squadron, right?
I mean, that's not wrong. Maybe you take 2 and 3.
I mean, if we go back to the Evan Verlaine squad, I realized that Luke, Wedge, Evan Verlaine, and Biggs fit at 200 points. And then that's actually thematic because Biggs is probably going to die and the other three live. Just like in the movie.
Just like in the movie. Most thematic. Excellent. So hopefully our discussion today, you know, thinking about the process of list building, going about it, gives you different ways to maybe go about building your lists, hopefully inspires you to build some different things. I know that we're not necessarily on the tables right now, but when you are playing online TTS, Vassal, one of the ways to continue having fun is to experience different things in the game. I know sometimes playing the same list over and over, like that's like a tournament recommendation, right? A lot of times, like, hey, you want to have experience with it. But if you're just playing pickup games, an easy way to just add some spice into your game is, this seems interesting, let's figure it out. Like when you guys watch League Night and I'm playing a list that somebody just throws at me, that's some of the most fun I have. I'm like, I have no idea what this is doing. Like, I have to figure it out on the fly. It's super fun. Super fun. Right, any other thoughts on this topic before we hit our question of the week? All right, let's go ahead and hit it. So our question comes from Paul, and it's a little bit more of a serious question. And we're gonna go ahead and try to tackle it. So Paul says, at what point in an event, so it's like during a tournament, is it considered okay to decide to call it quits and walk away from the tournament? Is it when you can't make the cut? when you can't go even on wins and losses, simply when it stops being fun, question mark, aside from, of course, possible emergencies. So it almost sounds like Paul is not necessarily asking for permission, but maybe trying to get an idea on how this idea of stopping playing at a tournament, like how that's perceived by the other people in the tournament and how it can affect others. So we'll go ahead and just open up the floor. Maybe Marcel, you want to hit this one first. What do you think?
Yeah, I was talking with Kayla. If I heard correctly, the question is like, when is it okay to stop playing in a tournament, to basically give up, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, that's the idea.
You know, I think it's always okay, and it's not even always okay based on when you're losing, because that's what we all think about, like, oh, 2-drop, oh, 3-drop, whatever, or whenever you hit the threshold where you know you're not gonna make when you know you're not gonna make the cut, and then that's like, okay, that's when you drop. But I think it's also just when you're not having any fun anymore. And I think LVO is a good example of that. I was still in the process of having the chance of making the cut. If I won my last game, I just wasn't having any fun anymore. I got like, I was just done. And at that point, you know, if you keep playing, why? It's a game, you know, if you're not having any fun anymore, just drop, whether you're still in the cut or not. The other thing is also, is even if you make the cut and you're not going to be available for the next day, especially in the 2-day tournaments, yeah, I mean, just drop. Now, the caveat is, if you're going to drop and you know you're going to drop and you know you're not going to be available the next day and it's a 2-day cut, you know, announce it early, let people know, because then the tournament organizers have a choice, and they have the, especially if it's not a like X2 make the cut or X1 makes the cut, it's more like a top 16 or top 8. Then the organizers have a, you know, they have a way of, you know, they can go and say, okay, one of somebody dropped, number 17 is going to make the cut now. So yeah, definitely go ahead and tell people early. Don't just show up. Don't just drop without letting anybody know. But yeah, whenever you're not having fun, whenever you're not having fun or you're busy or you got to go, drop. I don't think I've ever had my feelings hurt with somebody dropping, but I have been upset when I'm sitting at a table and they, you know, it's already 10 minutes into the round, I'm set up, and then the TO is like, nope, you have to sit there for 10 minutes until we make sure that the person's not here anymore. And then after 10 minutes, it's okay to drop, you know, to call it a win. So yeah, drop whenever you want, as long as you let people know ahead of time. And yeah, I mean, that's,
I mean, I think Paul here, I think he identified the three ways of thinking about going into a tournament, to be honest with you. That's like, can I make cut? I feel says to me, you're going to get some prizes or notoriety, you know, whatever your takeaway from that is, but you're going to win, right? The can't go even on wins and losses. It feels like something like proving to yourself that, you know, you're making progress in the game, you know, that you're trying to get above that even hurdle and maybe go, you know, 3 out of 5, get that 66% win ratio, right? But the when you're going just for fun, when you're just trying to experience the community and meet up with other players and stuff. So I think it really comes down to, like, what is your goal at a tournament? You know, if you're just there to get some dice and you can't get dice anymore, you know, you've already kind of planned you're already not achieving your goal. So there's less reason in your mind to stay there, because you've already made it up that this is why you're at this tournament.
Excellent. And Ryan?
But I just echo a lot of what Will and Marcel already said. I mean, it's always up to every person and every day and every event is going to be, it's going to have a different aspect that might make you feel like, hey, is this worth continue going or not? And setting up your own goals before the day goes in can be a major player into doing that. Like, if you're, like the question mentioned, can't go even and win some losses, like if that was your goal, like I gotta go even, and if you're not gonna make that goal, and then you can reevaluate and assess yourself and say, should I keep going? Is it worth it? If you're still having fun and there's nothing else for you to do, you can keep going. Maybe you don't get your goal, but your other options might not be as good as just continuing to have fun if you are having fun. I know a lot of the larger events, if people aren't having a successful day, there's a lot of other things you can go do. And a lot of times it's when we've gone out to events, it's just hanging out with friends. It's just as fun as playing X-Wing. The quote, best part of X-Wing weekend, when we can get back to that. So, if you're not having a good day in X-Wing, don't let it keep you down for any reason. Don't feel obligated to stick around just because you feel like you have to run out the rest of the tournament, even if it makes you feel bad. It's still your decision to play. And I believe Marcel mentioned before, like, don't just obviously, cut and run, like, inform everyone at the appropriate time in the appropriate manner and enjoy the rest of your day if you're not feeling it or it didn't turn out to be as good as you wanted it to be.
Yep. Those are all absolutely, you guys basically said all of it. And I think a lot of it comes down to, everybody emotionally is different, right? And everybody's intention and the reason they're playing is different. And I think those are the first two things you have to identify before you make the decision to quit. So, for instance, you might know that you are good at getting yourself off of tilt, right? So let's say you had a bad game and you're not feeling it anymore. If you are good at checking your emotions and you think that you can not let your bad feelings affect your next opponent, and you can at least brush it off enough to make sure that you're not ruining somebody else's day, then it's okay to stick around. But that's, again, it's all about self-assessment. For some people, right, it's a monetary thing, right? It's like, I paid X amount of money to do this. I'm going to do it. Like, there's definitely those people who have that mindset, which, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's there. Just think about it. It's really what it comes down to, right? Consider others, consider yourself. Why are you playing? Identify those things and you should be good. I think Paul gave a great question with a lot of the answers in there. So thank you, Paul, for your question. You can, of course, always submit questions for Question of the Day on our Discord, as well as List of the Week, which we're about to hit right now. It's List of the Week time. We got three lists today that we're going to go ahead and take. We actually have two scum lists and one rebel list. But today is like the day of the scum. We're touching on scum quite a bit. Looks like Ryan has already claimed his list, so we're going to go ahead and have him go first. We have a rebel list that was submitted by George on our GSP Discord. Oops, what did I do here? There you go, rebel list, and I'm on the wrong screen. There we go. So we have the note that came along with this squad was, been having a good time with these rebels. That's all we got. So basically he's looking just for an overall, like, what do you think and what could be better? So we have Braylon Strom in the B-wing, no upgrades. Ten Numb in the B-wing, no upgrades. Garvin, no upgrades except for S-foils. And then Dutch in the Y-wing with ion cannon, R3 astromech, and seismic charges. Ryan, take it away.
So this list, as we can see, is marked for hyperspace, so we'll maintain that format. And it also is a two-point bid that 10 Nub doesn't have the stabilized S-foils. My guess is that was a mistake. So I would just put stabilized S-foils on 10 Nub. I think that's too valuable to ignore. If it's for a bid, I think we can find it elsewhere. Let's put it that way. Because I think... So you can go... I think base as this list is, it's an extremely good starting point. It's something I've looked at for Foreship Rebel, all I-4, they have great synergies with each other. Braylon and Ten Numb could potentially get double modded attacks with just themselves, and then Dutch can help, and Dutch and Garba can help each other get double modded, or if Ten Numb can't get the barrel roll target lock, Dutch can help out with that, and then, you know, that's how Ten Numb can help get his double mod for the rerolls, but plenty of good synergy. And they don't need to be in formation. A lot of people make the mistake of putting them in a block of four. That is unnecessary. Not that it's ever always wrong, but they don't need to be that close to each other for this to work. I think what I don't like is while R3 astromech makes sense for Dutch, it puts them to be more expensive than two of the ships in your list. And I think Dutch needs to be one of the cheaper options in the list. So I think just taking R3 astromech off Dutch for sure. I think the highest I go with Dutch is ion cannon and seismic charges. With those 3 points, you can do a couple things. You can put hull upgrade on either B-wing. You can put tractor beam or auto blasters on 10 Nub to help with the stabilized S foils. I think either way, hull upgrade makes sense. Those 3 points spending on 10 Nub, if you want to spend the points, is probably where you go. If you don't want to spend the 3 points, or you, I have no idea what I would even put on Garvin at that point. Nothing makes sense for hyperspace. So it's either bid or drop those points into 10 Nub. If we wanted to go a little more crazy, we could drop the seismics off of Dutch and then give 10 Nub advanced proton torpedoes. Make them hit extra hard at range one, double modded, super angry face, and make Dutch even cheaper, again, keeping him below everyone else in the list as he is not more valuable than any of the other three ships in the list anyway, in my mind.
Cool. Excellent. So you end up with Braylon, no upgrades, 10 with advanced proton torpedoes and those S-foils, Garvin naked, and Dutch with the ion cannon. Next, we're going to go ahead and move on to Marcel's scum list. And this list comes from Danko, and it says, I've been wanting to try this since the points change and hoping it works. Any feedback is always welcome. So somebody was asking for some YV666. Here it is. We have a Trandoshan Slaver. That's the Initiative 2 with 4 LOM and Contraband Cybernetics. And 2 Bounty Hunters. Those are the Initiative 2 Fire Sprays with Perceptive Co-Pilot and Contraband Cybernetics.
Great. Well, you didn't see the message that I wrote, said, oh, I'll go William next, but okay, we'll make this work.
I'm sorry, I did not see that.
It's okay, I still love
it. Is it
you.
Still in the notes? I'm looking at the notes right now, I don't see it.
No, it's not in the notes, it's in the Hangouts chat.
Oh no, don't put it there.
It's okay, we'll figure this out. Okay, so Trandoshan Slaver, Bounty Hunter, and another Bounty Hunter. I2, a lot of beef. I think he's, the thing said he's just trying to make it work. I saw it somewhere while trying to make it work.
Yep.
You know, I like the contrabands. Contrabands are, especially they got cheaper, they're really good. And this is just a ton of beef and putting a lot of damage out there. I'm not a big fan of Forlom on the Trandoshan Slaver, just because, you know, ships that ionize themselves, you want to make sure that they can get themselves out of trouble. So the bounty hunters are probably a little bit better set for ionizing themselves, because if they're ioned and they have to get close to a rock or somewhere where they don't want to be, they got those hard ones that they can get out of dodge. But anyway, let's get rid of Forlom. Let's get rid of that Contraband too. Even though Contraband usually works on the Trandoshan Slaver. 10 points on a bounty hunter. Nah, we don't want that either. Let's take those perceptive co-pilots and... Now, I know why they want to do it. Let's take the Contrabands out. So, you know, the nice thing about this list, and you're at 176, is that you have three initiative two ships that have a ton of beef. You know, 10 health, 10 health, and then 12. That's 32 health. And they put out three dice each. Let's beef it up a little more. How do we beef it up? So... let's beef it up by throwing a Z95 in there. You can throw another four health on there. So let's throw a Z95 that gives you 1 point extra, and let's put that title of the Trandoshan Slaver, Houndstooth. So now you can dock the Z95 on the Trandoshan Slaver, start your game. And if somebody gets behind you, Trandoshan Slaver, or you want to, you know, launch somebody, launch that Z95 in the system phase with a 3K behind, you know, people in front of you and sandwich them or put it behind you.
And the Z95 has a 4K now, too.
Oh, 4K, 3K, 4K. Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, with the Trandoshan Slaver, works the same as the... as like the autopilot, right? You can launch out of the front or the back.
Can dock with you.
Yeah, the only ship with a restriction is the Ghost.
Yep. Is the only one that can only launch forward, right?
Correct.
No, I mean launch backward, not forward.
Run backwards, yes. Yeah.
The Ghost has that restriction. I thought it was free with them too.
No, it says it specifically on there, the Ghost. Actually, I like this a lot, because now the Trandoshan Slaver, you know, one of the weak spots is the back. So if somebody gets behind you, well, okay, now you got a Z95 that's going to 4K and get behind the ship that is behind you, Trandoshan Slaver. So now you got the two bounty hunters, the Trandoshan Slaver, just beef and dice. Save, you know, with the perceptive co-pilots, I get what you're doing. You got focus for offense, focus for defense. You know, you got so much beef. Just save your focus for offense. Take the shields, and if you got a shot, save it for offense. And then the Z95 is there to either be more beef or guard the Trandoshan Slaver's back whenever somebody gets, whenever an ace gets a little jolly and tries to get behind you.
Awesome. I think it could set up some really cool moments where you like undock it in an emergency situation, maybe throw a block or something like that, and you redock it and you try to do the same thing again.
Because you can like do a one forward and launch it with a three, and like with a 3K, or even stop and launch it with a 3K, and then the next turn just bump into each other and redock right after. And I mean, it gives you a little bit of flexibility.
Very cool. And so you end up with the Slaver with just a Houndstooth, two naked bounty hunters, and one Z95, the Binyari pilot, for 199 points. And then our last list for today comes from Stephen P. He has another scum list. And didn't have any notes for this, no comments or anything. We're really light on upgrades today for list of the week. We have Torkoal Mux with just the Moldy Crow, Drea Renthal with Dorsal Turret, Proximity Mines, and R4 Astromech, and three Cartel Spacers without anything on them.
All right, so this is actually interesting, because it's actually kind of goes with the topic we were talking about. And this list works. You make someone initiative zero, shoot a couple four dice, auto blasters at them with double mods, Drea reroll, and probably a focus.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the auto blasters. Yeah, they all have auto blasters. Sorry.
Auto blasters, because it's the cheapest way to get four dice attacks. for these M3As, which is pretty valuable. Plus, you have the if they take a crit, they can How's it read? If you roll a crit and you're not in their arc, they can't block it.
Correct. The crit just goes straight through.
Right. All right. So that's some interesting synergy. The best way to get crits is rerolling. Double mods are good. Four dice attacks are good. Making people initiative zero. Like all these upgrades make sense to me. The problem is, in my opinion, is the cost to benefit ratio. That's a 60 point support Y-wing out there, shooting two dice out the dorsal and two dice out the primary. I'm not excited about that. That's a lot of points to put on the table. Also, now I could be incorrect. Please prove me wrong, but I don't like Moldy Crow anymore. I used to think it was like required, right?
You thought it was the bee's knees, eh?
The bee's knees. But I think it's because it was only priced to like 12 points or something, right?
Right.
And now it's up to 18. Now it's a serious investment into a 5 health ship that I don't want to do. So I'm going to give you the... I think I did this last week, too. I think I'm starting to cheat on these. they're super simple, the ideas I got. And it's just like two different ways of thinking. And the first thing I'm going to do is drop the upgrades off of this list. Moldy Crow, gone. Got to keep the dorsal.
Oh, sorry.
Because of Drea's ability. And R4 and Proxy Mines. We're just going to clean those ships, make them a little bit cheaper. From there, I mean, you have enough points for just to throw a Z in there to get some extra... actually, you can throw another M3A in there if you wanted to get another ship to use Drea's reroll. But I'm going to go one step further, is that... And I'm going to drop all those M3As. Because, in my calculations here, that's the exact amount that I would put in 5 Z95s. Wait, I'm hoping you're just copying. Yep, clone. See, now this is the type of list that I like. Because we're going for pure efficiency here. Most attack dice, we have the same amount of health granted on smaller agility. Drea is still as efficient as she was using her ability, and Torgo's still doing what he needs to do. So this is going to give you 7 ships. And you can still do the initiative zero. You still have lots of modified attacks. I flew Drea just shooting 2 dice modified attacks. And it can really sing. But that's not very interesting. So if I can, I want to go back to the original list for a second. Let me go back to the original list. So just to kind of show that different line of thinking, I'm going to go the opposite way now. And I'm going to focus on those M3As. So I'm dropping Torkoal and the extra stuff on Drea now. And then we're spamming those cartels. I think you should be able to get all 8 of them in there.
You're getting rid of those pilots, Torkoal and Drea?
No, I'm just getting rid of Torkoal.
Okay.
I think you actually keep those upgrades that were mentioned on there before to R4 and Proxy Mines. And then you just replace Torkoal with 2 M3As. Because basically, I think this comes down to if you're paying for this kind of support ability, you need to maximize it. I forget exactly what it's called. Dion used to say it so many times. Compound forces? No, that's not what it is.
Force multiplier, yes.
So if you're bringing something that has unlimited potential, you need to lengthen that as much as you can. So would advise, whichever way you go, I think you need at least like 5 ships for Drea, or at least 5 shots, right? Because the Lokes were doing it with, actually, the Lokes were doing it with 6 shots, because they used to do the double gunner,
mm-hmm.
With the dorsal, before that got nerfed, because it was too good.
I wonder, sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was like, between thinking about these two kind of styles on it, I think I like the Torkoal and Z's better.
I think so, now, too.
I think William is the new Marcel here.
why?
No, I'm just saying, because we went from you're allowed to replace one ship, and you're like, okay, let's get rid of it. Let's throw 7 yeah. Z's on there. I think you can put an autopilot drone in there, too. If I could get rid of one ship or 2 ships and put 4 more on here, bro, we're back in business, buddy. We're back in business.
No. This is the spacers, dropping Torkoal and adding the spacers is like the in it's me trying to be within the rules of it, right? Showing the Z's was just an example of what probably I would do.
All right. Pretty cool. All right, so hopefully you guys enjoy that. I always love List of the Week. It's always super fun. But, we're super excited here at Gold Squadron. We got a lot going on. Make sure you guys continue to tune in. We have our the Space Jam. It's going to be not this upcoming weekend, but the following weekend. So it's going to be on Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th. We're going to be streaming all day. And you guys will be able to watch all those games. Should be super fun. Now we will end by, of course, putting up our poll for List of the Week. And let me go ahead and get that ready. While I'm doing that, Will, since you're up on the screen, you have any shout outs for anybody out there? Thoughts on the GSP Space Jam? Anything?
I was trying to think of a clever name for the opposite of Space Jam, for the international. I'll put that in quotation marks for the international version. What's the opposite of Space Jam? Is it Land Coordinate?
Land. Yes.
Well, if he's going with the same price support, he's got to have the jam in there. But maybe the Dark Side of the Moon. Jam? Because I don't know. They're all the way over there. They're on the wrong side of the. They're on the wrong side of the hemisphere. And Australia. Are you doing Australia or Europe, Tex? Or are you still undecided?
I don't know the exact time zone in which I'm going to use. I'm going to use a one that's more inconvenient for the United States and North America and South America than.
If it's Australia, can we just flip the Space Jam logo upside down?
Sure.
Just keep it the same name. Just flip it.
Yep.
And when you make the spinning belt, just make it spin backwards.
Okay. And you know, honestly, one thing, if let's say best case scenario, this goes super smoothly and goes well, I would probably end up increasing the capacity for the tournament. Or here's an idea. Or I keep it the same. And I have both the champions face off. Would that be interesting? I don't know. But this is all—it's all conjecture, all thoughts.
Well, if you're gonna do a few of these, I mean, you can just follow, what's already been laid out there, and you can do kind of like, you know, how they do with the system opens, where they have a grand finale between multiple, not just two,
but right.
Yeah, so something like that. Maybe even you can take like the top 4 or the top 8 from each side and just do kind of like a battle royale type of thing.
Space Jam All-Stars.
Yeah, there you go.
You just take the top 8 from each tournament.
Or Space Jam. So GSP Showdown Space Jam Edition. Right?
Hey, there you go.
There you go. Turns out
top 4 each, yeah. Oh, actually, you had 6, right? Top 3 of each, yeah.
Yeah, something. No, there was four of us. It was four of us, so it'd be two and two.
Oh, yeah, so top two.
The finalists from both.
Well, just have two more showdowns. Top four from one, top four from another.
There you go.
More future content.
Awesome. So we have the poll open for about 30 more seconds while I do the intro, outro. I want to say thank you to everybody who joined us here tonight live, and those of you who listen. Continue to stay safe. Everybody who's an essential worker, keep being awesome. Anybody out there who's being adversely affected but you're still being active in the community, know that we care. And you know that we can't be there necessarily, you know, in every way that you might need support. But know that at least here at Gold Squadron, we're gonna continue doing what we do, so we can at least help you escape for a little bit. All right, everybody. So looks like Ryan wins by a hair. No, it's tied right now. It's tied right as I was announcing it. Oh, Marcel gets another vote. I think they're just trying to do the.
To make me not feel bad, but
right. I'll break the vote. All right, here you go. Ryan wins. Gold Squadron out.